The show's about to start. R. The show's about to start. Are you ready? What's going on? Welcome to the show. This is Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm your host, Jeff Trunipole. And as always, I'm bringing you sports from a West Side point of view right here in the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio, home of the Cincinnati Bengals, who have announced they are actually going to have a ring of honor. This is awesome. Now, do me a favor. If you found the show, hit that like and subscribe button. Smash that thumbs up. I'm up to 970 subscribers. That is awesome. I appreciate every single one of you. Now, this show and every show is brought to you by T Properties. T Properties, quality housing for quality people. Check out their website at www.tpropertiesllc.com for all your rental property management needs and your rental needs. All right, guys, let's get into this. We got special guests today, but I'm going to bring in this guy first. Jeremy Dean.
What's going on, bro? How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. I'm going to try to jump into this because we got some pretty cool guests today. Some buddies of ours from the Bengals Bra podcast. I'll go ahead and bring them in.
How we doing?
Gentlemen.
What is going on, guys? Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
I feel an outsider here. I got Jeff, Jeremy, Josh. I need to change my name.
So we got West Coast Mark and we got Josh Cavalcante. I say it right again?
You did. The only difference Woo-hoo! In this screen is Mark's not able to change my name to Superfan like he does on all of our episodes. So I had full control of my name on here.
you're always the Superfan there, right? Always.
That's right.
So, are you guys excited about the announcement of the Bengals Ring of Honor?
Long time coming.
Absolutely.
I think it's great. I mean, the first two that we've that's been announced is Anthony Munoz and
Paul Brown.
Which I mean, I don't know how you could not have those guys as your first two. Those are the first two I thought would be in there. My question is, who you guys think might be the next two? I got my my thoughts on this.
Well, I think if your thoughts aren't Ken Anderson and Ken Riley, then we probably need to check your head. I mean, has to be the next two guys. First two that are getting in with Munoz and Paul Brown, and then you add in Ken Riley and Ken Anderson, that's always everybody's Mount Rushmore of Cincinnati Bengals.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. And I mean, to this day, it is an absolute travesty that neither one of them are in the Hall of Fame. This is the picture I was looking for. I'm going to pop this up there. But it's an actual travesty that they are not in there. I mean, they should be in the Hall of Fame. These are the only two members that are actually in the Hall of Fame in Paul Brown and Anthony Munoz. But the two Kens should definitely be in there as far as I am concerned. But I'm very excited about the Ring of Honor and what it's going to look like and what, you know, what they're how big a show are they going to do for this, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I think the more important thing that it's, I think it's going to reach more on a national level. I think, a big problem of why we only have Anthony Munoz in the Hall of Fame is the Bengals organization and themselves has not honored their past legends, right. You know, with the Ring of Honor, or whether it be statues or anything for that matter, there's been nothing. And I think that at least the organization themselves honoring these legends goes a long way into getting these other guys into Canton.
Exactly. What's your thoughts there, Mark?
Yeah, it's the same thing. There's a stair step in every team. It seems like you make the team's retired numbers or Hall of Fame, and then you make it to the Hall of Fame. And right. The Bengals have been sorely missing that first step of the process, as evidenced by the fact there's one player and one front office person in the Hall of Fame. So ideally, there's a fan voting process in place that takes suite owners and season ticket holders, and they get to vote for the next two places. I'm hopeful that it's, the Ken and Ken show, but then I'm hopeful that they look at 3, 4, 5 and say, okay, here's our 2022 class.
Right.
And continue to move the ball forward where they say, okay, here's the two automatics, and then we're going to vote for two more. And year after year, they just continue to grow.
Yeah. Cause there's so many guys that the Bengals should have honored in the past, 60 years or however long they've been around, since 1968. That to me is one of the biggest reasons that Ken Anderson and Ken Riley are not in the Hall of Fame. Because the Bengals have done nothing to promote them to keep their name out there, you know?
Absolutely right.
Well, it seems to be changing. Elizabeth Blackburn has been a breath of fresh air for the front office and for the fans, and they do seem to be listening. This has been something that we've been screaming about for years, but the day's finally come, and I think there's some other changes on the horizon as well, so they can stick to their guns as far as that hashtag new stripes. I'm excited to see the new jerseys as well. Yeah, that's going to be fun to see here soon.
Well, you got new jerseys, and it looks like they can get new numbers now too. They can pick, if we actually do draft Ja'Marr Chase, he could actually be number one if he wants to be now. It looks like that. That's what the NFL came out with that earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm completely excited though for the Ring of Honor, just like you guys. And like you said, it'd be crazy. Not to have Ken Riley Jr. in there, Ken Anderson. There's so many good players to put. Willie Anderson is even, he's up there. It's going to be such a great experience for the fans, especially the fans that, have asked for this for years, like we have been talking about for the last year. But I really think it's going to help as we get towards the 2025 year, get our fans excited, get them back in the stadium. Hopefully this whole COVID thing goes away and let's start getting excited about our Bengals again and have the fans stand behind our organization. Like you were saying about Blackburn, we've got some things to look forward to. I really believe that in Cincinnati.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. It's exciting times right now, especially with the draft. I think we got a really good chance of getting a dynamic player added to the fold as well. So yeah, it's really exciting, even though the Reds are killing it right now in Cincinnati. It's still Bengals fever. You can feel it.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
It's unbelievable right now in the city. I mean, to start opening day, all I was talking about was Bengals. That's all anybody leading up to opening day. All anybody wanted to talk about was Bengals. Cause they didn't do anything in the off season. They're going to stink. Blah, blah. And I kept saying they still could be a pretty good team. They only lost two guys. Now if they hit, boy, have they hit. They are not going to cover off the ball right now. So with everything going on with the Bengals and the Reds red hot right now, it's pretty fun being here in Cincinnati.
About time, right?
Exactly. So just to let everybody know, you guys are, if they don't know you, which I'm pretty sure more people know you guys than they know me, you guys are do a podcast on the Bengals Brawl Network or the Brawl Network on, you call it the Bengals Brawl Podcast. So what's up with that? Was anything new going on there?
I think loaded, that's the blessing. Understatement of the century. There's
you like how I presented that to you?
Yeah, that was good.
I'll give everybody a quick head start. You can go to awfulannouncing.com and look at their staff writer, Andrew Buchholz, and he writes a pretty solid article. I'll just give you the quick title here. It's a pretty well-documented article of the goings-on, but the article title is Brawl Network Sees Contributor Exodus and Complaints About Founder Mike Brez, Including Slurs in His Past Tweets. So as much as I appreciate you announcing us as part of the Brawl Network, our entire team of and I'm not speaking for James Rapine and Tony Pike, but Josh, myself, Tony, James, we've all exited stage left from any association with the Brawl Network.
Yeah, Sam the Man Connaughton with us. We're no longer going to be broadcasting our show from the Brawl Network in light of those allegations, I guess is what they are at this point. Right. You don't know, but where there's smoke, there's fire. And it just doesn't, those types of views and comments just don't align with how we operate. So we will be finding a different location to host a podcast and Bengals podcast and kind of keep our momentum rolling because we did enjoy it. Brawl Network did afford us some opportunities to meet some great people and have some great things of that, you know, and get some experience going down to College Gridiron Showcase and some other great opportunities. But we just felt like it was best for us to remove ourselves from the network.
Right, right. Yeah. When stuff like that happens, you kind of got to make a decision. You got to jump ship or you're going down with the ship, one of the two. So I think you guys will find some bigger and better opportunities on down the road. But when you do, definitely give me a heads up and I will get the word out to figure out where you guys are at. And because it'll be probably under a different podcast name, obviously. So it won't be on the Brawl Network anymore. So
yeah, we're still trying to figure out all those details as far as, where we're going to land or what kind of name and stuff like that. But we'll be coming out with an announcement soon. But sounds appreciate good, that.
No problem. All right. Well, the chat is completely blowing up about the draft. And I just have a question for you. What team are you guys on? Because I was on the Orange is the New Black podcast, the Civil War, and it was Team Chase versus Team Sewell. I'm on Team Chase, but if they draft Sewell, I'll be fine with it. My opinion, we're going to get a really good player at number five, and I don't think we're trading down. We're going to stay at five. But in your guys' opinion, are you Team Chase or are you Team Sewell?
Ooh. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong. It's a good decision to be able to have. And you're faced with probably Pitts, Sewell, Chase is all solid picks, in my opinion.
Yeah, varying I was going to ask where the Team Pitts Where do we land at for that?
From what I understand, I like Pitts. I'd be cool with him, but Malik Wright, if you guys ever follow him on Twitter, he has stated in a tweet that if you like this tweet, you know, where he said that they are not going to draft Pitts, he would buy you two Bengals tickets and a jersey of your choice to any Bengals game you wanted. So he is very confident that the Bengals are not drafting Pitts. So I'm kind of going by what he's saying. I mean, the man's that confident to tweet that out. Now you had to like the tweet or whatever. That's where I think it's going to be, you know, Pitts or Sewell. But I mean, Chase or Sewell. But like I said, Pitts will be, I wouldn't mind Pitts. I mean, I'm Team Chase. I like him. I like the chemistry he had with Burrow. I think that's good. And the reason I'm more like that because of the amount of offensive lineman talent that is in the draft. I think you can get a very good one in the second round and another backup potential starter in the third round with as many good offensive linemen that there is in this draft.
See, I go the other way. I look at it a couple different ways, Jeff. I think number one, the reason why Burrow didn't play the second half of the season is not because we were lacking in wide receiver talent.
Right.
Second thing is I think we've got some serious depth at wide receiver in the later rounds. So I think you're looking at guys that are burners in the later rounds. I think my dog agrees too. There's another Team Sewell.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this draft, I mean, honestly, this draft couldn't work out more perfect for the Bengals as far as the two needs that they have. They do need a wide receiver and there's a lot of depth in the draft and they need a offensive lineman tackle or well, probably gonna be a guard since they signed Reef. I would think whoever they draft would start out a guard and maybe kick out the tackle, but you never know. Cause Reef said he played guard too. So Reef is pretty good with, wherever they put him. So it's not necessarily true that, you know, we draft this guy and he's going to be the guard no matter what. If we draft an offensive, if we draft Sewell, I mean, maybe you kick, you start him out of tackle. I mean, there's lots of options. That's what I'm really happy with, the way the Bengals have ran the offseason. Some people complained about not getting enough offensive linemen, but they weren't going to pay $80 million for Tooney. I mean, they needed more help than just him. And I think the two guys that they actually had targeted, one of them got franchised and one of them got re-signed. So that's why I think that's where they're at with the offensive line in the offseason.
Yeah, you still got decent guard talent as free agents right now, and we definitely need some edge rush on the defensive side of the ball. And on top of that, you know, I see Keith's making a comment, you can find a quality starter third, fourth, fifth round in the draft. You can find a potential Pro Bowl talent in the first round. I don't know why you'd consider passing on that.
What do you got, Josh?
Yeah, and we've talked about this, the draft here for the last couple months, and I think – you know, here until here recently, I was all team Penei Sewell. Get as much protection, build that fortress around Joe Burrow. Let's protect him as much as possible. And I'm not saying I'm necessarily off of that wagon, but you start to hear, you know, Zim or John Sheeran, guys from Cincy Jungle, whether it be Joe Goodberry, yep. And you read into all these different things and you're like, man, that's some supreme talent we're passing on if we don't take Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts. But like we've also stated on our podcast, they're in a great spot. They're right. Going to be hard pressed to mess this up. If we get Jamar Chase, if we get Penei Sewell or Kyle Pitts, we're getting a generational talent that is going to be, you know, in stripes, hopefully for the next 10, 15 years, and a complete game changer. All those guys are, none of us should be upset with any of those names if they're announced at five.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Go ahead, Jeremy.
No, I was just letting you guys know, man. I was not ignoring you there. My phone is kind of screwing up. And before the show started. Okay.
We were ignoring you. We weren't even paying attention to what you're doing anyway. Good. So it's fine.
Well, I'm used to that, especially with this jackass over here, whatever. No, just trying to get it shared out. My phone's having problems. I don't understand. But, yeah, anyway, I'm with you. I was, after last year, watching – Burrow go through what he went through, and I'm sure you guys didn't, you know, get to watch many of our shows throughout the season, but
they watch us all the time. What are you talking about?
We tune in every week, man.
Every day at 5:30.
Yeah,
Eastern.
Exactly.
Along with Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. I know these guys, but
Strawberry Ice is running wide.
It's big up here on the West Coast.
It is, you know. But you know, I at the end of the year, you ask me, I'm saying Sewell. I want to watch him. I want to see what he can do. I loved what he did. And here comes Chase. We got Burrow. So I'm on the Chase bandwagon, 100%. Jeff is as well. But I saw a little graph today, and it kind of threw me back to last year's Bengals, and I'm sure y'all have seen it. It's been floating around, but it shows Burrow throwing the ball, and it shows Sewell blocking for him, and he throws the ball, and the guy catches it, and underneath the guy, his name is called Anybody. And then it's got a second one, and it shows Burrow getting creamed, and it shows a little arch of the ball falling short with Chase going, I'm open, but he's already been sacked. So, you know, I looked at that today and I kind of thought, man, don't forget about what happened last year. You know, don't let all this glamorous stuff let you forget about the problems we've had, because at the end of the day, we've only really added one starter. Would you guys agree with that?
I guess the only thing I would say is that, and Sam actually mentioned this on our last show, I really think the Bengals are banking on the addition of Frank Pollock improving the offensive line more than we're really factoring in to anything. So I'm not saying I agree with that. I would love to see him go get another guard, and the more the merrier, and it really opens up your options at five on what you can do, the more talent we bring in. But I think that they're really banking on Frank Pollock making that big of a difference with how they do things and how these guys play.
Yeah, I had Jake Lisco on the show last week from Locked On Bengals, and I asked him this question about Frank Pollock. I said, like last year, my opinion, they relied too much on Turner, who, in my opinion, again, was an awful offensive line coach. And I think he proved it. They were relying on him, I think, too much last year to coach these guys up. Now, are they doing the same thing again? Now, in Jake's opinion, he said he didn't think they were because they had already gotten – went out and got Riley Reiff, and they've gotten Spain back, which I actually think Spain is actually a – people are kind of sleeping on that. I think that's a bigger pickup than fans are really into because Spain came in, you know, halfway through the season, came in, played the first game that he was a Bengal.
And then bounced around. Yeah,
he got bounced around the whole time. If you can stick him at guard, left or right, whichever one they want to put him at, and leave him there, I think he's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, and Suofilo, in the short time that he was in there, was playing pretty solid, too. He wasn't playing like garbage. He wasn't playing like a pro bowler by any means, but he was solid as well. And, you know, it's not
very first game.
The only concern would be a little bit of a depth issue. You know, if somebody goes down again, I mean, what are we looking at? Who are we putting in there? There's not really too many guys. I mean, is Pollock going to improve Billy Price's play that much more? I hope so. I'd love to see Billy kind of make good on that first round pick. But, man, that's tough.
Let me give you a different perspective here. Just in looking at the Bengals over the last, you know, the new Stripes Bengals over the last couple seasons now, they're bringing a new coach, and all of a sudden they're making moves that are so un-Bengal-like where they're active in free agency for a couple years in a row. They're active in the draft. They're maneuvering players. Now here we are, year three, they're changing out coaching. But every time I'm seeing something, which is new for the Bengals, is you're the new coach, let's give you your new toys. And they go out and spend money in free agency. So what's the likelihood that they bring in Frank Pollock and don't give him some new toys by drafting Sewell in the first round?
True. You got a good point. Like I said, if they draft Sewell, I am not going to be upset. I mean, I'm Team Chase, but like I'm all for protecting Joe Burrow. I mean, he is the franchise. He is our Corvette. You know, he's our shiny toy. He's going to when we win a Super Bowl, which all you Squealer fans, we're going to win one of these days. I'll be right here talking about it. But when we win one, the reason that's going to happen is because of Joe freaking Burrow.
Yeah. And I don't see any Bengal fans this year. And they didn't with Burrow either or AJ Green. But other than those guys, I don't see any Bengals fans throwing tacos at their TVs at our first pick. You know, you've got to be happy with Sewell. You're protecting your investment, and that's what he is. He is our investment for hopefully a long time to come. And if you take Chase, you're giving him a tool. Get into second round. You got Leatherwood. You may have Wyatt Davis. So, you know, I just don't see any Bengal fans being that upset because, boy, there have been some that were upset over some of our last first picks.
Well, and for good reason. Some of them haven't been that well, been that good over here recent years.
Oh boy, he.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some rough ones that have happened over recent years for a front office that was so good at drafting for all those years, and now we've kind of hit like a brick wall. Last year was pretty solid. I think they're gonna pull a good chunk of players that are gonna be longtime Bengals out of last year's draft. So. Maybe they're back on the right track, but you hear a lot of people make the comments of, you know, reading between the tea leaves of Duke Tobin's recent comments and saying, oh, that automatically means they're picking Ja'Marr Chase. I don't really think that. I think it's the smoke and mirror season right now anyways. You're going to say stuff to throw other people off their game, so I don't think you can really read into too much about what Duke's saying right now.
Right, exactly, because people comment on my show here like, well, Duke Tobin and Zach were both at Sewell's pro day, but only Zach was at Chase's Sewell day. I was like, or Chase's pro day. I said, that don't mean anything. Like, you know, they were there. I mean, you know, so they could draft either one of them. But got a question here from LeVar. He said, hey, Iceman and crew, how do you guys feel about releasing Giovanni Bernard? I think it's a big mistake because of his pass blocking and receiving in the backfield. What did you guys feel about that?
you know, a couple shows ago, we had a kid on that Josh got to see in person at the College Gridiron Showcase, but a late round draft pick, probably, what would you guess, Josh, projecting fifth, sixth roundish, maybe yeah, undrafted probably. Free agent on the outside and maybe a fourth rounder on the high side. But Josh Johnson, small college player, and man, just balled out at the College Gridiron Showcase, and a guy that you know, he shared with us that he's spoken with the Bengals and with their coaching staff about what he was looking for and what role he could potentially play. And that's a guy that, as we watched him in person, or footage of it from my perspective, you know, this is a rookie version of Gio Bernard potentially. Guy can catch out of the backfield. He gives world-class effort when it comes to blocking. I mean, there's footage of him just stacking up monster defensive rushers. And then the kid knows only one speed, and it's cut one time and go, which is a perfect compliment to Mixon.
And as far as to answer the question, as far as releasing Gio, I hated to see it. I understand it, I guess. They were able to save, what, like $5 million in cap space. So as long as they spend that money, I understand it. Just to put it in your back pocket and not have Gio in there, I wouldn't be able to accept that as much. But, yeah, you hate to see Gio go. Just a great guy on and off the field, has been so involved with the community. And that's a great point by the listener as far as his pass protection. He's been rock solid ever since he came into Cincinnati. But this might be kind of a sign where they're saying, okay, Mixon, it's your show now. As much as you can be in there, you're going to be in there. P. Ryan will obviously come in and spell him on some carries and stuff. Because P. Ryan was okay in pass pro last year, but I don't think he's like somebody that's you're going to really throw out there as much as you were with Gio. So I think this is kind of a sign of saying Joe Mixon's going to be a three down back this upcoming season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's one thing I've actually kind of talked about this for the last couple months, that I thought it was a possibility, because like somebody said in the chat here, the running back position is devalued in the NFL, and the Bengals, just with Mixon and Bernard, were in a top five or percentile or top 3% of money allotted to the running backs position. So I'm like, you know, there's a chance they could release them just to free up money to go, you know, hopefully, like we all want to, reallocate it for free agents or draft picks or whatever. And when they re-signed Piron, I'm like, that's, I wouldn't be surprised if they get rid of him. And the thing is, one thing, Bengals fans are upset that they get rid of him. I'm like, all right, well, Bengals fans get upset when we hang on to guys too long too. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, they let this guy go. And the thing that cracks me up, we were talking about this yesterday. Some experts are saying, wow, why'd they let him go in April? I mean, man, he's going to have a hard time getting on a team. Like, it's freaking April. I mean, Giovanni Bernard's going to get picked up by somebody. I mean, I can see him going to Tampa Bay or somebody like that. I don't think he's going to have a problem. Yeah. I don't think they did him wrong at all. I mean, I think they tried to get him to take a pay cut or trade him, and neither one of them worked out, so they just released him.
Yeah, Keith makes a good point, too. They asked him to take a pay cut or restructure some numbers. He said, just cut me, which I don't think it was a bash in the team or vice versa. I think it was just a solid, you know, do me a solid and let me go, and I'll go find my own paycheck.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's where I think they actually did him a favor, like you said. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Oh, no. My bad. And with Gio, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, towards the end of the draft, we're going to have a guy like Trey Sermon out there. We're going to have a guy. Okay, I'm a Buckeye through and through. Schooled, raised, love my Buckeyes. But if you've got Joe Mixon, I think we can all admit he's kind of a power runner. He's a one-cut, quick guy, but he's more of a slug. You know what I mean? He's a hard-hitting runner. Then you got P. Ryan, who, you know, He's kind of in that same category. And then if you would bring in somebody like Sermon, does that sound to you, would you like to have those three running backs? Because what I've tried to tell people is Sermon he can catch the ball, from the backfield. But at the end of the day, he's running 4.6, man. And you got guys like Geno that are running 4.4s, 4.3s. And that's kind of where your dump offs. You want a little speed there. And I just don't see Sermon bringing that extra burst compared to what we would already have. I just don't know if that would be the three running backs that would really fix our situation. How do you guys feel about it?
I mean, I don't know enough about where Sermon's supposed to get drafted. Like, isn't it somewhere in the middle rounds?
He left school to go be a fifth round pick. Makes no sense to me, but
yeah. Okay. So maybe that's about where the Bengals probably start looking maybe for that additional guy. So it's a possibility, but I would think that they would be more inclined to go after a guy that they know is a capable pass catching back.
And a better fit, a little quicker. And yeah.
So I had to replace Geo. That's cheaper and younger.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Like that, Josh Johnson, possibly.
Exactly. It answers their question. So all you, the Sermon people, I love him. He should have stayed. He could have went in the first or second, but he left, and now he's going to be lucky to be drafted. So there's the answer to your question by Josh himself, guys.
And I would have signed up for Trey Sermon's day any day. I would have loved to have been drafted in the fifth round. So I had that available to me.
I think any of us would take that.
Right on.
So we're talking about the coaching changes and everything, and we changed the defensive line coach and the offensive line coach. One person we didn't change, who I wish they would have, and I never say his name right because I do it on purpose until his defense gets better. If his defense ever gets better, I will promise I will say his name right. But it's Lou Armadillo. How do you guys feel about Armadillo? I'm not a big fan of his, to be honest with you. I mean, I haven't seen much out of his defense the last couple of years, and they keep giving him more and more toys, and we keep sucking at defense.
Well, his defense definitely didn't have too much of a hard shell to it like an Armadillo did last year. It started to harden up, I guess, maybe towards the back end of the season. They started playing a little bit better, I thought. But, yeah, I think it's well past being put up or shut up time for Lou Anarumo, but especially after a second consecutive offseason where we've really loaded up on defense, and that's where we've really looked at the additions. I wouldn't think that it would be too far into the season if they come out of the gate struggling and and they're giving up 30, 40 points a game. I would think that he's got to be hitting the road really quick.
He got to. And Mark, and Josh, actually, is the last game where we literally gave up historic rushing. Does that kind of stick in your head still to this day when you think about Lou and how we kept him? And does it kind of make you think, man, is this we really should have got rid of him last year? Or do you guys feel like, hey, we're going heavy on D again this year, give him another chance with a bunch of different players?
Yeah, I don't know if somebody in the front office misread the rule book, but I think we're focusing on a 53-man roster, specifically just defensive backs. That's what I've seen so far. And what we talked about in the past is you cannot cover an NFL receiver for 6-7 seconds.
No.
We could have the best defensive backs in the country. Mm-hmm. We need a pass rush. We need to limit that time to select a receiver and drop back and throw the ball to under 4 seconds. And it's an entirely different game. Exactly. So have we provided the tools to do that? We had a couple guys that made sense. Maybe we made a swap that was even money trade when Dunlop left. But, man, we don't have, you know, along your lines, Jeremy, to answer your question, we don't have anybody to stop the hole in the middle.
That's true.
We bring back Mike Daniels. There's an outside shot that Geno comes back. But still, you know, those guys we're not getting Pro Bowl Geno back. I don't care how much you pay. That guy's not around anymore. So is there another option at the defensive line that's just going to make a difference in the team? And I think you can see that key plug in the middle of the defensive line suddenly draws double teams and suddenly makes an outside pass rush reasonable, even without the world-class pass rusher. If I'm getting double teamed in the middle, I've watched it. You're down in Alabama. You see it in the SEC. One defensive interior lineman makes a difference on the outside edge rush every single game.
No doubt.
And to be fair to Mr. Armadillo, as the Iceman would call him, you lose players like DJ Reader. Geno Atkins was hurt most of last year. You lose Trey Waynes. We can say we added all those guys, but they really didn't play. Right. They were kind of the walking dead last year. You had a very young linebacking core. So you're probably not going to find too many defensive coordinators out there that would have made the Bengals a top 15 defense last year. So
That's true.
Right, exactly. I mean, I get all that with the injuries and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's, for me, it's just, and I brought this up on my show a million times. The game that drove me nuts was the Indianapolis Colts game.
I was there.
How many times? Yeah, how many times did we see a tight end, a wide receiver, a running back run wide open right over the middle of the field? And it has nothing to do with injuries. There was no Bengal within 5 yards of him. That's the problem I have with him. And that's where I'm just like, what are you scheming? I'll give it to him for the injuries and everything, but I don't like his schemes. He just backs off and plays zone almost the whole time. And he never blitzes. And that's another thing. Since he's getting Hilton, you know, the quarterback, one of the best things he does is blitz. How many times did the Bengals blitz last year? So now that we have him, is he actually going to blitz? Because he should. You just signed mm-hmm. him. So those are just – it's just a scheme thing with me that I don't see – I haven't seen anything of it in the 2 years. I don't like the way he schemed anything, to be honest.
No.
And, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and for this is for you guys too, just real quick. You know, we all listened to his interview with the media when he first come in. He was going to change us from 4-3 to a 3-4 defense. That's the way we were going to draft. That's the way we were going to get guys. We were going to blitz linebacker like the Steelers do, like the Ravens do. He kind of, you know, put all this in our head, and I'm thinking, now let's go out there and, you know, and knock Ben Roethlisberger's block off. You know, let's go out there and do what they've been doing to us. And it seems like the last 2 years, we don't see 3-4 much ever. It's just a base defense through this whole last year. I mean, would you guys agree that there wasn't a whole lot of, I don't want to say trickery, but, you know, when you're sending, you know, your inside linebacker one time, you're outside the next, whatever, you know, teams don't know what you're doing. I saw a lot of teams standing there pretty much just kind of pointing out, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Tight end run over the middle because he's going to back up 10 yards. You're going to be wide open. I mean, how do you guys feel about the 3-4 and the 4-3 and what Lou's done with that?
And the 5-6.
Here's the worst part of it is we load up a roster to run a 3-4 defense, and then we run a 4-3 defense. So we've got a thick linebacker core, and then we play three of them. So I don't understand when your weakness is down linemen and when your weakness is edge rush, why don't you focus on bringing linebackers when you have a strength at linebacker? That was the most frustrating part.
Right. Exactly. All right, hang on a second. We're at the halfway point. I like letting everybody know what they're watching. But you guys are watching Sports with Strawberry Ice. I got the guys formerly from the Bengals Brawl podcast on the show. We're going free agent.
Me, Josh, Sam, and Gio, currently free agents.
Exactly. Right. There you go. You guys, if you're watching the show on Facebook or anything like that, do me a favor. Hit the subscribe button on the YouTube channel. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Don't forget TikTok.
Oh, yeah, TikTok. I had that one, too. That's that guy right there. He's TikTok nuts.
Oh, I'm TikTok.
Oh, dude. Seriously, we'll be on the weekends. I'll be sitting to watch a game. I get a notification. Dude, you got a TikTok just now. I'm like,
I'll be sitting watching the game, and my phone will be going ding, ding, ding. Look. Jeff made a TikTok.
Oh, get out of here. I don't make that many. You made way more than I have.
Oh, come on.
I bet you guys both look good. Both dancing on there. It looks good. And that's an app I have not downloaded yet. So
14-year-old girl in the body.
Yeah. Once you download it, it's addicting, man.
I have three kids that are almost teenagers. One of them is a teenager. So I see plenty of TikTok. I just don't have it on my phone.
Yeah, I got a daughter. I got a 16-year-old, almost 17-year-old daughter, and I'll try to do stuff on there, and I'll be like, I'll yell and call for her to come down. What do you want, Dad? What do you need help with on TikTok now? I'm like, how do you do this? There's my dog going off.
Yeah, we know about 10% of TikTok. That's about our knowledge.
Enough to be dangerous.
That's right.
This is how close I get to TikTok.
There you go.
Oh, man.
There you go. There's the first sound effect. I was waiting for that. All right, guys. I got another question now. If you guys watch the show, I'm always the optimistic one, and that guy right there is the pessimistic one usually.
Realist.
whatever. Anyway, my thought is, I really do think if the Bengals knock this out, this draft out of the ballpark, that they have a chance to a shot at being a playoff team. I'm not saying they're going to, but I think they have a shot of making it. You know, how do you guys? I know it's the division's hard, but the Squealers aren't that. They're going down. I think the Browns are the Browns, and then you got the Ravens, or you know, the Ratbirds. So they're going to be good, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, just look at last year's schedule. You got a 3-point opening loss to the Chargers. You got a 5-point loss to the Browns. You take a tie to the Eagles. How many of those games, you know, a 4-point clutching defeat from the jaws of victory from the Colts, how many of those games change? We're not talking about massive changes. How many of those games change and suddenly you have a winning record? Or suddenly right, you're fighting for a shot at the playoffs. So now with a 17-game schedule, can they get in that playoff hunt? I don't think it's unrealistic. We're not talking about wholesale massive changes to suddenly have a team that's competitive. They're right. Competitive. They just are on the wrong side of the win-loss column on a couple games.
Yeah, you know,
how much of that attitude takes over as well when you're suddenly saying, well, we lost another close one, and then does the team kind of start to cancerize themselves in the locker room just a touch, even if everybody's publicly positive?
Yeah, Mark's bringing up just last year, but even if you go back to Zach Taylor's first year, a bunch of close losses. I mean, I don't know what his record is in one score games offhand. It's not pretty, but there's been a lot of them. And if they could find some way of winning those games this year, I think it helps, obviously, having a healthy Joe Burrow, who's showed that he's clutch in those situations. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're far off. They just got to start. They're going to have a bunch of close games again this year, and they're going to have to figure out ways to win them instead of finding ways to lose them.
What do you got? Yeah. 3 games last year, being realistic, and Jeremy's tone, 3 games that we really weren't competitive in out of 16 games.
Yeah,
you got first, 2 Ravens games and a Steelers game.
Yeah, that's it. Everything else, they were pretty much in. I mean, to me, this is one thing I've brought up on the show. I think this would have changed the whole season if they don't call AJ Green for that pass interference against the Chargers. Then Joe freaking Burrow on his very first game in the NFL leads his team down the field for a winning touchdown. I think that changes the whole season because that gets them over the hump of winning the close game. And you know, you got to learn how to win these things, you know. And Barry Larkin said this on the broadcast with the Reds yesterday. You got to lose to be able to learn how to win. So the Bengals have got the losing part down, you know. So I
got that check.
We got that down. So they just gotta learn how to finish games out. In my opinion, they are close. And if he doesn't get hurt in the Washington game, we're winning that game, I think, because we're killing them.
Yeah. I think depth is still a little bit of a concern. I think if we look at our starting rotation, whether it be on offense, defense, we have solid pieces there. If guys start to go down an injury like they have every single year in the last 4 or 5 years, they could. Right. I mean, it's going to be what we've had. I mean, you can't sustain that many injuries and expect to be successful, especially when you don't have the depth. And the Bengals don't really have depth. They have a solid starting rotation, but the depth is not there.
You know,
my question is that a coaching thing? You know, for getting why we always have so many freaking injuries? Is that, you know, I don't like we said the last couple of years. Getting injured. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it.
I posed the question to on our show as far as the training staff or whatever you want, strength and conditioning or something's wrong in the program. I don't know what it is, but you know, last year I think all the teams with all the COVID restrictions had all those soft tissue injuries, and I think it was kind of expected. Yeah. But this thing with the Bengals goes farther back than you know, COVID.
Right. Oh yeah. So, And the thing about it is, I look at it two ways, man. We had Burrow this year, you know, when we were healthy, we were playing the NFC least. This was going to be, you know, our year to win these games, to win these close games, for Bullock not to miss game winners or game tires.
Dude, you guys have made about 6 different comments that have cost Josh probably another $4,000 worth of therapy. Almost all these issues have been dealt with, and you're bringing them right back to the surface.
No, but what I'm saying is this year, it's a different, whole different year. we stay healthy, I think we can stay up with anybody in the league. I don't care, you know, what division we're playing. But last year's division, man, that would have been a good time for Burrow to really be that rookie of the year. And, oh, I had all these great hopes. So, like you were saying, Josh, we've got to stay healthy this year pretty much. I mean,
and that's a cliche. I mean, every team has to stay healthy, right? But right, I think it all depends on your depth and how you're able to absorb those injuries. And I don't feel like the Bengals are in a great spot to absorb them.
I'm with you there. And especially when we're not playing the NFC least anymore, we're going to have tougher teams. So we're going to need to try to, like you said, it's a cliche, but we're going to have to try to knock down on some of these injuries. And my gosh, I'm not going to even say it can't get worse. I won't say that. I swear.
You better not.
But that was tough last year. That was tough. I mean, what can you do? We had Trevion Williams running the ball.
I'm okay with the schedule being harder, because if they do come out guns blazing like the Reds are this year, that beating these tougher teams is going to be, I think, pay off in the long run as hopefully winning a playoff game, you know, because if you're just beating all these cupcake teams and you go to the playoffs and you do the same thing and, you know, then nothing happens. So hopefully the tougher schedule, and hopefully they've learned from their mistakes, you know, learned what not to do, because if they can't learn from their mistakes, we're just going to be starting all over again and spinning our wheels. So that's the hope. And that's what you have to have as a Bengals fan is hope right now. If you don't have hope, you ain't got nothing.
Well, it's pretty much all new blood in there now. I think there's only, what, three remaining guys from our last playoff appearances in 2015. So it's all new blood in there, new leadership. Unfortunately, the mainstays of, you know, Hall of Famers, as I will always call him, A.J. Green, and not that those guys were bad guys to follow, but it's just going to be a whole new leadership as far as in the locker room and a whole new vibe. And, you know, Joe Burrow is going to be right at the front of that. And anybody, you know, all of us have seen Joe Burrow under pressure in an interview. You just can't, you know, hate anything that the guy does.
Yeah, now that's one thing that's interesting with, like you said, there's only three guys left from the last playoff game. Mm-hmm. They have given the keys to the car. They've given it to Zach Taylor. These are Zach's guys. So, like we were saying with Armadillo, you know, in the first couple of games, if the defense sucks, he might be out the door. If Zach doesn't get off to a good start, I think he's out the door, because, I mean, it's his last year of his contract. They've given him everything he wants. I mean, what do you guys think? Go ahead, Mark.
I'm not making predictions on any midseason head coaching changes. I haven't seen it in the past. I mean, we've been 40 years since that's happened, Josh. Is that about right?
The Bengals did do it, I believe, with Bruce Coslett. I mean, I think. Well, I don't quit. Think that they – yeah, he resigned. Resigned.
Right.
So
all members of the Bengals coaching staff take one step forward. Not so fast, Bruce.
Yeah. it's not something that the Bengals are known for doing by any means. Yeah. I mean, we held on to Marvin for how long, you know?
David Shula.
Yeah. So, but there's plenty of examples of them being very, maybe sometimes too patient with their coaches. So
I would say this, Jeff, if there's a midseason defensive coaching change, then who is on, because they're not going to bring in a new defensive coordinator. Right. Who's on the roster right now that's going to step in and say, all right, here's the new blood bringing new ideas to the team.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what scares me, to be honest. I'm like, I don't know who they're going to bring in.
I mean, there ain't much there. You know, Darren Simmons has been here forever. He's not a defensive coordinator. I wouldn't know at all. I mean, would you have a guess? Any of you guys?
I think Bengal Jim.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. That's a good one.
Yeah. Bengal Jim probably would be the best defensive coordinator in the franchise's history. We all know that.
I like that. I have to let them know that we're voting for him.
Yeah. Maybe season ticket holders and suite owners get to vote for the new defensive coordinator. Yeah,
Exactly. Exactly.
That was a good point, though, Mark. There really isn't. That was.
It makes sense if there's somebody that's fresh blood that's got some new ideas that wasn't part of a disciple of Anarumo. So then all of a sudden you've got a little bit of a gear shift, but they already know the personnel. They know the scheduling. Then, you know, there's just a lot to do to pick up So, you know, I apologize for not knowing the schedule any better, but if it happens, is there a after the bye week type move that could happen? When do we see a bye week in 2021? That's what I don't know.
If that was
week six or something and we were 1-5, then is there a bye week, after week six type of thing? That might be an outside possibility if we just started off.
Right. I'm looking. I got the – oh, here it is. The opponent.
LeVar nailed it. Bengal Jim would just have the other team out under the table drunk.
I know. That's my man.
Yeah, exactly. That's the opponents, but that's not the actual schedule. So I don't – the schedule actually hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, I don't think they have that figured out yet.
Yeah, so that's actually who we're playing. So, I mean, it's not a gauntlet, I don't think. I mean, it's tougher than last year, but it's definitely doable. I think we can get a couple – couple wins.
Who's missing off of that? Who's missing off of that list? Who was the 17th game we added?
49ers.
49ers.
Or excuse me, the Sucky Niners. That's what I call them because they beat us twice in two Super Bowls.
Yeah, that.
I try to have nicknames for everybody.
can't wait to hear ours.
I can't. You already got. You got Super Fan Josh and you got West Coast Mark. I can't give you nicknames. You already got them.
Okay. Perfect.
What do you got, Jeremy?
Oh no, man! I was sitting back and listening and agreeing, dude. I mean, that's where I'm at. I'm same way, feel the exact same way. And I also wanted to let Josh know, dude, your nickname's a lot better than mine because somehow
I'm Dimebag
Dean.
Now,
haven't done any of this since Jeremy brought it up.
Jeremy brought it up. Years ago. I did not. Just for the record.
Crip. It was a joke. So now, something 30 years ago, I'm paying for it, or 25 years ago.
Whatever. 30 years ago, you would have looked at that as a badge of honor.
Well, I would have, yes.
I'm going to go into the Wayback Machine here. One of our early guests was Cincinnati reporter Brandon Seho, and we pulled out some footage from a college project of his when this is umpteen years ago when Ohio was voting to legalize marijuana. Oh, yeah. And he ran a college senior project video. And I think, do you remember what his line was? Something about Cincinnati voters are not too high on the idea.
Right.
And he was saying, please don't play that. That's all I need. So yeah. did Ohio not just legalize marijuana in the most recent vote? Or was it, I know Illinois did, right, Josh?
Yeah, Illinois.
Has forever ago. I thought that maybe Ohio did or medical Illinois marijuana or something or other.
Bunch of people, yeah.
How about Alabama?
Alabama has not, and it'll probably be the last state to ever do so.
We
just got beer on Sundays 2 years ago. if that tells you anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Indiana's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as far as the nicknames, yeah, Mark goes ahead and put Superfan next to mine. So that's Mark's nickname for me. I will probably forever be his Bengals Superfan. Got him into the Bengals love. So that's his nickname for me.
Superfan Josh.
Yeah.
It's just much easier than the last name.
I love it. But let me ask you guys this, man, while you're on here, and I know you probably answered it a million times, but as Bengal fans all of our lives, like we all have been, how do you feel totally about the offseason and where we're going and pretty much changing up our whole defensive backfield? We only got one lineman as of right now for free agency. How do you guys feel in a whole about what we've done?
I feel pretty solid about it. I mean, I think that they could have probably made some more moves on offensive line that I would have liked to have seen something. But I think with the loss of William Jackson, that hurts a little bit, but they were able to replace him with pretty Cheeto. Awuzie is a solid, guy to bring back in. And then we talked about Mike Hilton as well. I mean, that's a solid addition. I, in my opinion, think that the cornerback room is upgraded over what it was in previous years. Now the D-line, we'll have to see. Can Ogunjobi, be that guy that Geno wasn't able to be last year? And you got Daniels, who looks like a man possessed. If you look at his social media, he's on a mission. So if you got Daniels, Ogunjobi, and Reader to match up with those guys, I think they got a pretty solid, I think we got an upgraded defense from what we had last year, you know, as long as they stay healthy. The only thing I would say, I would have liked to have seen them either go after one of those Curtis Samuels of the world. That would have been somewhat nice, but they didn't go after anybody like that. So it's almost like they went and got everything else, and now they're looking to upgrade, you know, the weapon wide receiver, or maybe it's a Kyle Pitts, and offensive line in the draft. So it's a little short, you know, a little too soon to talk about fully how you feel about the offseason, but if they handle the draft the way that I think we all assume that they're going to, I think it's a very solid back-to-back off seasons for the Bengals.
Yeah, I would echo that the last 2 years have just been something different than we've normally seen. The last 2 years of activity, you know, where normally it's a stand pat and let's wait and see and we'll see who's available when everybody else is done, that hasn't been the case for the last two seasons. So it's nice to have complaints of or concerns where, hey, maybe there's one or two holes we didn't fill. But think about 3 and 4 and 5 years ago where it was, what are we going to do anything?
Exactly. Exactly. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm back.
Hey, welcome back to the show, folks. We're here with the Iceman, Jeff.
Exactly. I was talking, all of a sudden everything went out. I'm like, what the heck? And
Jeff, I know Josh and I are looking for a show, but we weren't ready this quick.
just take over. I'm glad you guys did this until I got back. I'm like, anyway, freaking internet. But
try City threesome, you're out.
There you go.
We made some changes since you were gone, Jeff.
I wasn't even gone that long. But one thing that people have to keep in mind too is there's going to be more cuts, you know, from other teams in the NFL, because there's lots of teams that are still over the cap, so they got to make cuts, and there's going to be some pretty big cuts, and I think the Bengals are still waiting to see what that is too, as far as guys they can get, as far as the defense line or hopefully a edge rusher, because there's not really a lot of edge rushers in this draft. Which, if I'm recapping something you guys already said, I apologize.
No, you're right. There's always the cuts of veterans that are coming out after training camp, and then there's always cuts of guys around the draft and contract restructuring gone awry. So it's not like all is done, and we certainly have cap space. You know, if you average $5-6 million to sign a draft class, then we have plenty of room to bring in a couple more solid guys, especially now with geo space. You know, along with what Josh said earlier, if that $5 million geo check goes in the pocketbook or in the cash register, it makes no sense. But if suddenly geo transforms into an edge rusher, then you know, it's a different story entirely.
Yep. Yeah, Jeremy. I actually heard that with the Geno hit, and this was by a pretty reputable source, that we're almost $20 million under the cap still.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit of money for somebody that may get cut as we get closer to draft, as we maybe make some moves during the draft or whatever. I can see some guys being cut, like Jeff said, and I can see our money sitting here that can take them, like Josh, offensive lineman, another one, or whatever. Just depends on what they decide to do in the draft is what we're going to do with these last few free agents is what I think.
Yeah, I'm still hoping they go after the – and his name slips me right now. He's the edge rusher from the Redskins that came – or not, excuse me, not the Redskins. The Washington football team. I still do that every once in a while. The Washington football team that came in a couple weeks ago, and according to Jake, let's go on Locked On podcast – or Bengals podcast, he thinks that ship has sailed. But as far as I know, he hadn't signed with anybody, and now we have even more money. So it could be – that's a move I was really hoping they would make to get that rotation, you know, with the guys we signed, the guys we already have, and add him to it. I think that would be a great move.
And you're talking Ryan Kerrigan, right?
Yes, that's his name. Thank you.
Yeah, what do you guys think? That would be a great addition. I just think that they're kind of – they've done what they were going to do, and it almost seems like we're kind of playing it what we're going to do in the draft, and then they'll reattack it afterwards.
I agree. They're on the draft plan right now, and then once they get the draft to figure out what they got there, then they'll try to fill in the rest – afterwards. But I don't think they're done. I think they got a lot of moves left, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun this year. But it's almost 6:30. I told you guys we were on for about an hour, so I will let you guys roll on, and I appreciate you guys coming on the show. You guys can come on anytime you want. And hey, if you haven't got a place to podcast yet, you know, we're going 4 wide now. We can go 5 wide with Sam too, so we can do this more often.
You damn right.
Yeah, we really appreciate you guys having us on, and we love your guys' show. Appreciate all the kind words, and hopefully we're able to land somewhere here in short order and get some shows out ourselves. But the only disappointing thing is we didn't get to – I thought we were going to talk about some Reds, but we got tied into the Bengals. I could talk about the Bengals
for, we always do.
For hours. But
We can keep going. We can talk Reds if you want. The Reds
are going to be. Let me ask you this, Jeff. How many more games do we need to score double digits before they start spelling Reds R-R-E-D-S?
Look, when you get into the level of the big red machine, and that's where they're at, and I'm not saying they are compared to them, but the start they've gotten off to is like the 76 team. So I'm very excited about them. I'm fired up about them.
Yep. Long season, but way to start.
I would just say this, outside of maybe those last couple weeks, late last season where they got on a run and actually snuck into the playoffs, this first week of this season is probably as much fun as I've had watching Reds baseball, and I can't remember when. The play of Nick Castellanos has, that's got to hype you up. Jonathan India has just been lights out rookie. That he looks like he's going to be a sensation for years to come. The pitching staff has been unreal outside of a few little blips here and there. I know Luis had a tough time on opening day, but he was able to bounce back yesterday. But it's fun. It's as much fun as I've had watching Reds baseball since maybe those playoff years back in 2012, sometime in that range. So it's been a while since we've been able to enjoy some Reds winning.
Yeah, 2012 when we were up 3-1 and we can't win a freaking game. But but yes, it's been an absolute blast. I call Nick Castellanos Nick Cablastos, and then the new nickname for Jonathan India is the Red Sparrow. But it is an absolute, like I said, it's been an absolute blast. And the thing is, we're getting this great pitching, and Sonny Gray hasn't even made a start yet.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
So we got more to come.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty exciting. You look at that lineup. I know there was a little bit of question marks maybe around Eugenio Suarez playing that shortstop position, but man, he's looked impressive through the first week. He's made some outstanding plays over there. So they got a pretty solid lineup top to bottom, and you know, it's going to be fun. If they keep playing like this, man, it's going to be a fun season.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch it. They keep this. Now they're not going to, Castellanos. I mean, look, the guy's already hit a slump. I mean, he was batting 500. Now he's only batting 438. So, I mean, he's already going downhill as we speak. So
he'll pull out of that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think that 0 for 4 day yesterday took a hit on his 538 batting average. But
What's your prediction? We're on a 5-game win streak right now. Where do they got a shot at dropping the next game?
The good thing is I always worry when we go out west, because they always suck when they go out west. But they were just in Arizona. So, they haven't been home that long. So, hopefully the time change will get used to it and they can take off. And because Arizona isn't that great of a team. So, I don't know. What I'm hoping is they get off to the same kind of start that my favorite Reds team of all time, the 1990 Wire to Wire team had. Now, they get off to a 9-1 start. Now, they won their first 9 before they lost one. Now, the Reds would be hopefully the opposite, lost their first one, and then win the next 9. They got 4 more to go. So, hopefully that starts in Arizona. They got 3 of them with Arizona tomorrow night. And I don't know what I'm going to watch, because there's no Reds. There's no Bengals. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe we'll watch wrestling with Jeremy or something. I don't know.
There you go. Go to bed early. Go to bed early tonight.
Yeah. Well, I have to do that anyway, but I'm old.
Well, if they ever legalize pot in Ohio, you can start watching golf on TV.
Hey! I love golf. You kidding me?
Gee, minute, Chris. Golf on TV? Come on, Jeremy. Dimebag Dean. Just roll up with a dime bag and a little Masters golf. And
man, we're going to watch golf tonight, boy.
Oh, man, are those azaleas? Get me a pimento cheese sandwich, man.
That's 200-yard 9-iron right there, bro.
Dude, did you know 300 yards is 900 feet? Whoa.
900 feet's like from here to the sun.
All of a sudden, I feel like I'm watching Beavis and Butthead again. Oh my goodness! But yeah,
great point by Keith there too, with some guys coming back with Gray and Lorenzen coming back. Yeah,
loaded. Yep. I'd say if we can just keep this five and one pace up the rest of the season, it'll be fine. I'll handle 30 losses. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. I think we'll be good then.
Yeah.
Just keep winning at 500 clip or whatever, or six, whatever.
132 and 30. I'm fine. I'll take it.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'll take that. I mean, I've been talking smack on my page saying I'm calling it now. We're going to the playoffs. So, but you know, like I said, enjoy the moment. That's my thing. It's because some Reds fans are like, oh, well, they're playing against the Pirates. Did you see what they did against the Cardinals? They kicked their ass too. So, I mean, and then somebody comes out, Armin Garrett, he sucked the other day. He got the job done. I mean, just quit looking for stuff to be upset about. Just enjoy the ride, because it doesn't happen very often like this. This is the best stretch of baseball for this team that I have ever seen in my entire life.
Well, yeah. I mean, they definitely are playing really well. I've had a lot of fun this past week watching them, like I had said, but if I go back to the rest of my, you know, my life, I would have to go back to the season you already stated, that 1990. I was only 9 at that point, but I still remember exactly where I was when Todd Benzinger caught that that out there on the in the foul territory.
Right there, boys. Right there.
Those were great times. Chris Sabo.
Oh,
that's my favorite player all time right there.
Spuds.
Yep. Me too, man. Me too. Yep. Favorite player. Ken Griffey Jr. is my favorite player. Wasn't so much with the Reds, even though I loved him anyway, but he had already kind of burned out his career a little bit by the time he got to Cincinnati. Wish he would have came a little sooner.
Yeah, I love Jr., but I would say my all-time favorite Red was probably Eric Davis.
Eric Davis.
Eric the Red. Man, he's enough. I mean, him and actually Ken Griffey Jr. had similar ending of their
careers. Yeah.
Yeah. They both did not stay healthy. That's the thing. That's Eric Davis's problem. He could not stay healthy. I mean, he had that great year in 87, another good year in 88, that 89 hit, and he couldn't stay healthy.
You go out there and dive around on that riverfront AstroTurf and see how long you last.
Exactly. I'm not complaining. I'm more disappointed. I wish he would have been able to stay healthy, you know?
Yeah.
Check. What's that? What kind of dog you got there, Mark? Before we get off here,
full fierce nugget.
I love that dog.
Little Pinto.
Pinto's her name.
Pinto. What's up, Pinto?
He's a big Bengals fan.
Two horses that live with me, man, and Great Danes.
It makes Jeremy feel like a man.
I gladly trade.
That's why I got this pup. I just lost my Great Dane a couple years back, and yard duty is remarkably different.
Yes. You don't need one of those big claws, man.
Oh, my God. Got more therapy. Jeez.
Right on.
Exactly. All right, boys. Well, I've kept you guys long enough. Again, I appreciate you. And we'll definitely, like I said, let's do this again sometime. You guys are awesome. I love your podcast. And wherever you guys go, definitely let me know.
Hey, thank you for the invitation, guys. Jeremy and Jeff, it's a pleasure being on with you guys. Thanks to the fans, Ken and Keith and Daryl and everybody on there with commentary. It's been a nice – I like the setup, man. It's pretty slick.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it big time, man. That's awesome. I know Jeff, thank you guys for coming on and having some killer guests for a whole hour you guys gave us. Not many people
over an hour right now.
Actually, that's right. So not many people do that.
Where do we send the bill?
to Jeremy Dimebag Dean in Alabama.
Dimebag Dean. They'll know who he is.
Right on.
Yeah, exactly. They know me down here.
Exactly. All right, boys. Well, I appreciate you. And we'll have to do this again sometime. But thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Take it easy. Later.
Later.
Well, that was a hoot.
Yeah, that was cool. Those guys are great.
Yeah, man.
I enjoy them, and hopefully they can get themselves on another podcasting network or just do it by themselves like we do and go from there.
Oh, yeah, man. Definitely. They won't have no problem. I mean, you know, they'll find
they're fun. They're fun. Like I said, I enjoy their podcast, and I've been trying to listen to the last podcast. I went on there to get on it, and there was nothing there. Like the podcast, it said it was there, but it wasn't there. So I'm like, all right. Oh,
because the whole deal,
the whole thing they got going on. So yeah. Anyway, let's get the hell out of here. I want to thank all the Facebook groups that let me live stream on their pages. I invite you guys to join all of them. They are Who Dat Nation, Cincinnati Reds, Riding Third, Heading for Home, Bearcat Country, the Ohio State Bucknuts, the Ice Bar, where you can find our silly TikToks that we were talking about earlier. And follow me on my Strawberry Ice page, which is blowing up. I have, as when the show started, I had 936 likes. 1,016 of you guys are following the show. I have 328 followers on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram, like I said, TikTok. Now, all you 1,016 people, if you're watching this on any of the Facebook platforms, I have 970 subscribers. I need to get to 1,000. So please, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to Sports with Strawberry Ice on the YouTube channel. I'll be pulling the sound off later on tonight, putting it up on the podcast so you guys can check it out. I'm on Spotify, Apple iTunes, and pretty much wherever you get your podcast. And other than that, Jeremy, I'll just call him D. You get us to roll on out of here.
Sure will, man. Sure will. I know I've said it on other shows, but you know what? You can't beat this, guys, for free. So tell your friends. Send them to Sports with Strawberry Ice on YouTube, just like Jeff told you. Subscribe. It's all free. If each of y'all would do it, we would be out of the moon. So unless you've got some major news coming up here, Jeff, I think I will go ahead and take it on out.
Sounds good. Ready? Everybody, all together now.
Well, I would add as always, remember one thing and one thing only, and that is you don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati, so act like it. Who Day, baby. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Who Day. Let's go, Reds. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do tonight. I got no sports to watch. Maybe I go watch wrestling with you. I don't know. We'll find out. But we'll see you guys tomorrow. Try to do the Zeke of the Week. I got some ideas. Do you?
I do.
And other than that, that's just sports, baby. See ya!